Support for X-Ray comes from Beeline Urban Delivery. Beeline supports businesses with access to zero-emission delivery, warehousing, and advertising services. More at b-linepdx.com.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Alberta Abbey. The Alberta Abbey is a nonprofit venue nurturing the arts in Northeast Portland by amplifying opportunities for Black and underrepresented communities. They provide studio, gallery, and performance spaces to local artists and art organizations and showcase diverse programming for local groups of all ages. More information, event calendar, and tickets available at albertaabbey.org.
Hi, this is Peter Case, and you're listening to X-Ray FM.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online and on demand at xray.fm.
Every Tuesday at 2 p.m., join me, DJ Barbarella, in studio live with a local artist, musician, or event organizer. Hear what's new and upcoming in the local scene, with new music releases and debuts. Plus, hear a special curated playlist each week from every guest. All on X-Ray, where radio is yours.
Hello, 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 X-Ray listeners. You're tuned into Flying Saucer Safari here on X-Ray FM, where radio is yours. And I'm here with a very special guest here. I would say the man finally behind the camera. If you've gone to a show at Portland, you've probably seen Corbin snapping pictures. So I'm really excited to be here with you, Corbin, and also Chris, representing Buckman Publishing as well. So welcome, you guys. What's up?
Oh, hey, thanks for having us.
I'm so excited to have you. I feel like so much of what I cover in this show and people that I've had on here, you know, you've photographed and been at those events. And so you're on here today to talk about this upcoming book release that you have that is this collection archive of your disposable camera photographs from 2015 to 2023, put up by Buckman Publishing, and it's happening this Thursday.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so let's talk more about that event. We were just kind of briefly chatting about it. It's at PamCut.
Yeah, their new Tomorrow Theater on Southeast Division. We're going to be, it's a book release show, but, you know, I think it's going to be a little different from a lot of book release events. So we're going to have a few performers. It's going to be emceed, hosted by Karma Rivera. We'll have performances by Dimwit and James Anais of Non-Binary Girlfriend. We're going to have some Corn Con performance, courtesy of the Corn Poets and Corn Fashion Show, and as well as some special appearances by some local wrestlers.
The wrestlers. So I was like so intrigued by this going through Choice Cuts because I knew that there was a wrestling scene here, and I really love the dissection of Choice Cuts because I feel like where I know you through is, you know, through music shows, and I love the intersection that is also weaved through Choice Cuts of all the other events that are taking place in Portland, and really how they are so interwoven, how politics impacts music, impacts all these other things. So I love that for this event, you're bringing like all of these big hitters through the scene, through this particular scene era for your event.
Yeah. No, I think that there's definitely a lot of common threads that tie these things together. Obviously, live music is great. I love live music. I'm out at shows, you know, as often as I can be. But I love any kind of performance and anything that really brings people together in person, in real life. A lot of what's featured in the book also is protests and sort of, you know, a community gatherings akin to that. And you know, I think with you know, with wrestling, there is a big local wrestling scene here, which mm-hmm. for years I was ignorant to it. You know, I would drive by the Eagles Lodge in North Portland, and I'd see the blue collar wrestling sign, and I didn't really know what that was until finally one day I went, and I had a great time, and I really got kind of sucked into this whole scene of local wrestling promos, of which there's a handful of them. Some of them change names. They have their drama that sometimes is hard to tell if it's kayfabe or if it's real. but you know, they're performers and they're people, and they you know, they come from all kinds of interesting different backgrounds. Some of them are also musicians themselves or comedians, mm. or you know, they definitely, I think a lot of them approach it as a performing art, but it's also wrestling. I mean, it's real. Like, they get hurt, they bleed. You know, the physiques that they're doing are real.
Oh, for sure. I feel like I learned that so much from the wrestler, that film, where they're like, you know, sort of cutting themselves to perform these bloody battles. So I love that you're bringing all this spirit, and that you kind of see all these people and these events as performances and community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like something I really like got from going through all of Choice Cuts and all of the I love reading all of your different little insights throughout mm-hmm. the book, is just like this sort of curiosity that you seem to have towards everything, and mm-hmm. that sort of seems to lead your approach towards things. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because I feel like that is something that like so many of us can like aspire to, and I want to ask that as like like how that's directed your art practice, and like kind of like where that has started in your art practice. Like, why did you choose like disposable film as like your art medium?
I'll start from
that's
that
a big
I mean
question.
I've been taking pictures since I was, you know, like a young teenager on various different cameras. Started out with digital cameras. I used a Polaroid back in high school. You know, went through various things. I'd take party pictures in high school, college. I use disposable cameras occasionally in the way that people normally do. You buy a camera, you take some pictures, you forget about it for a few months, you eventually get it developed. Until one day I moved back to Portland. I had been living on the East Coast for a bit. Moved back to Portland in 2013. And early 2014, I was heading to a party. And I stopped at the pharmacy to buy a disposable camera to take pictures of the party. And they were like $15 a piece. And I was like, that's insane. If that's what these things cost now, I can't do that. I can't justify that. So yeah. I bought a camera for that night because it was my plan, but sort of thinking this would be the last time I ever shoot on a disposable camera. But I had a lot of fun taking pictures that night. I was like, no, I really love these things. Like, I wish there was a better way. And so I went on eBay, and the first search I did, I found a seller selling 32 cameras for $48, so yeah. $1.50 a piece. So I bought those sort of thinking that would last me forever. But it obviously didn't. But you know, I got this big box of cameras, and I just got into the habit of putting one in my pocket when I leave the house for the day and taking pictures of just whatever I encountered. At the time I had never taken pictures at shows before. I'd been going to shows my whole life, but had never thought of taking pictures. So you know, initially I was taking pictures of people I'd run into on the street, parties, that type of thing. And I pretty quickly got into a habit of going through one or two cameras a week, and then just putting the pictures on Facebook and you know, tagging people in them, and was getting, you know, good feedback, and people seemed to like it. And I enjoy shooting on disposable because, you know, I don't really even think of myself as a photographer. I don't know how to use a manual camera. I don't know what an f-stop or an aperture really are. I can press the button and get a decent picture. So with a disposable, I don't have to worry about anything other than like being in the right position. Mm-hmm. I like shooting on film because I'm limited. I'll take one picture and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I took your picture before the show started. I took one. If it was digital, I could have taken 10, 20,
totally.
And then choose them later. I hate doing that. And so I like the limitation of having to be a little bit more thoughtful about the pictures that I'm taking. So I kind of just got into the habit then, and then it just became, you know, like a compulsion almost to, you know, always have the camera with me and be documenting what I encountered along the way.
I think too, it's interesting, and this makes me think of like a recent study that was kind of talking about like training your brain to see like happiness in moments in your life. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking for it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like kind of what you're doing there in the practice of like looking for those moments, mm-hmm. and being very careful in particular with choosing, mm-hmm. you become very aware and, yeah. and good at looking and seeing those like moments that are like, this is the moment.
Yeah, I kind of think that it's like I'm always taking pictures, I'm just not always pressing the button.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, the camera is always within arm's reach pretty much all the time, no matter where I am. And I'm, you know, always kind of looking for that moment that, like, might, you know, be, like, that split second where if I catch it, then, like, you know, the picture comes out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I'm a fairly observant person a lot of the time anyway, but this has sort of trained me to be, mm-hmm. you know, more so and with a particular sort of, you know, goal to that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, like, its own lens.
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, you go to so many events over the years, and I read through in the book, like, you were part of Camp Crush House.
Yeah, that was my house.
So, I mean, I feel like that in part answers one question of, like, you know, how do you stay so active through the years of going to things and mm-hmm. having the energy?
I mean, I find it invigorating. I always, like... I love going out to shows. I love live music. I love being around people in those ways. It's where I do most of my socializing. I don't know. It's a lot more work to coordinate hanging out with a friend than going to a show where I'll inevitably run into some people that I know.
Truth.
I'll get to see some music. I'll get to move my body around. I'll get to dance. I'll have some fun, take some pictures. I just love doing it. And I've never found, like, you know, there are environments where I'm in my, you know, mid late 30s at this point. There's environments where, like, I maybe feel a little bit out of place because everybody is, you know, 17 mm-hmm, to 21. Mm-hmm. But there are, you know, plenty of environments where people around me at shows are, you know, decades older. Like, there is no age limit. I've found, you know, over the years, I've always met people who seem to think that they're too old for the scene, whether they're 20 years old or in their mid 40s. And it's like, none of you are. You know, if you care about going out to, you know, support the community and the arts and you enjoy music, like, then it's for you. And so, you know, I find that it stabilizes me to, you know, to go out and to see things. And I, you know, again, music is my favorite thing to see, but I love seeing people perform. As a person who is not, I'm not a performer, I'm not a musician, I don't typically find myself on stages, although of course I will this Thursday. You know, I'm just sort of like, I'm fascinated with the fact that people do that, and I love seeing people sort of, you know, pour their emotions and their heart out into whatever it is they're producing.
Mm-hmm. So how's it going to feel to flip the tables for being the MC for your event, being so behind the scenes?
I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. I'll be honest. Again, it's not where I'm usually find myself. Unrelated to any of what we're talking about right now in my profession, I talk about resumes and job search technique. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm usually talking about when I'm in front of a crowd. I'll speak to groups of people about that. So it's sort of this weird, like, taking one element from one part of my life and connecting it into, like, the rest of my life. It's like, we'll see. But everybody who's going to be joining on stage are people who are, you know, absolute veterans of the, you know, performing arts in Portland. So mm-hmm. I may lean on their confidence a little bit to, you know, feel comfortable up there. But I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be great. I feel like it'll be a lot of familiar faces in the in the crowd and audience. And I feel like that's, like, kind of, you know, what Portland's music scene definitely becomes over the years. And I feel like you kind of mentioned that in Choice Cuts is, mm-hmm. like, you know, people, you know, become so familiar from just going to the same events constantly. Mm-hmm. You become friends over time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, I kind of look back and realize, like, I've known you for a decade. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you hundreds and hundreds of times, and we've spent all these different times together. And I've never actually spent any time one-on-one with you. But you know, we're all part of this thing together. And you know, at the same time, there are many people who are not around anymore, who I used to see all the time. And it's like, I don't know where they are now. And hopefully they're somewhere on this earth. But sometimes I realize they're still in Portland and they just aren't out and about anymore. Other times, you know, they've moved on to other places. And but I know, you know, that you kind of, as you settle in over time, I have nowhere else I'm planning on going. You sort of start to see who else is probably in it for the long haul.
Yeah, I feel like I saw you mention that, like, a few times in Choice Cuts, and I feel like as someone who also has, like, been, like, more and less active mm-hmm. in parts of the music scene over the last, like, decade, I feel like that really, like, I felt that mm-hmm. a lot of, like, and, like, recognizing people, you know, who've in your book who've moved, who are friends, and then you think about them, and you're like, oh, yeah, I hope they're well. What a time.
Yeah.
And it is nice to see then familiar faces, but and nice to see people doing well in new avenues and uh-huh. their new mm-hmm. chapters in life. Mm-hmm. Like you, also have a new chapter in life.
Yes. I have a 3-month-old baby also.
Yeah.
So a lot of new things happening right now. New baby, new book. Lots of, you know, new life to figure out. We've taken the baby to a handful of shows already. There's obviously perhaps not quite as many as I'll be going
to.
So
incredible.
But, great thing about DIY shows, house shows, like, all ages means all ages. Babies are welcome, you know. Bar shows will probably not be on my radar for a while, which is fine. I don't really care for bar shows nearly as much anyway. But, we've taken the baby to a couple house shows and people love it. It's, you know, it's fun for everybody. So hoping to keep doing that as much as he'll put up with.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, you're going to raise the coolest kid. I love the headphone babies.
Oh yeah.
But so, newborn baby is kind of one reason that where Buckman kind of comes in and plays a big part of Choice Cuts. So, tell me a little bit about that, like, and what that's like to kind of a bit of like handover.
Lot of that. No, this book would not happen without Buckman. For years and years and years, people have been saying like, oh, you should make a book. And I've always said the same thing, which is I don't have the time or interest or ability to do that. Mm-hmm. But if somebody else wanted to, I'd be happy to like let them do so and like take the work over. And one day I got that email from Rich with Buckman. I'd worked with Buckman in the Journal a couple times before. There's some interviews and some photos and some earlier issues. And he sent me an email and said, let's make a book. And then for the next 2 years, he selected photos from my website, my photo archive, and would send them to me an email. And I would write back an email, like my thoughts, musings, commentary, whatever the text that, you know, eventually became what's in the book. And then he said, okay, I think we got enough. And then like 6 months later, I got an email from Chris, who's here with us in the studio, saying like, here's the first draft. Mm-hmm. And had taken, you know, all that back and forth between Rich and I and all the photos that he had selected. And I gave Chris access to my entire photo database, everything that I'd ever taken, and went through and collected it all together and assembled it into this book. Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, what an undertaking, because I mean, I can only imagine how much footage, if you're going through 1 to 2 cameras a week, like you're saying, for almost a decade.
Yeah, it's like 21,000 plus photos on the whole archive.
That's insane.
There's a lot. And I had them pretty well organized.
I was going to say, because you already, let's talk about your archive so people can also check that out as well, because you have your own website.
Yeah, I have my own website. You know, I mentioned earlier, when I started doing this, everything went on Facebook. That's where we were.
Totally.
It was a different era in social media. Yep. It's not that era anymore.
Yep.
What we have now is, we don't need to get into that, but so I started my own website, which is my name. It's korb.in. It's my photo archive. It's every single photo all in one place. And what I've been doing is indexing everything. So I'm creating pages for every single show that I've been to, every single artist that I've seen, every venue, everything. So I'm building out a large, you know, at this point, there's over 1,500 pages of content on there with hundreds of artists and hundreds of shows. So I'm just gradually like building all of that out so that there's a, you know, full database that people can look through and see, you know, click on a band page and see what other bands that members were in, and, you know, jump between different shows and sort of, you know, navigate through this whole world of the pictures within one place like that.
That is an incredible archival project. Yeah. Like, I'm sure, like, you know, baby Corbin going to that first show with that first camera had no idea this is a, like such an important historical archival project for Portland.
A lot of the bands that I have on there, it's like some of them, these are the only pictures ever taken of them. Yeah. They only played 3 or 4 shows, and no one else had a camera on the other shows.
And they never recorded anything.
It's just these couple of images that, like, proof that they ever performed at all, that this ever existed. And so I'm trying to gather as much information as I can about some of these things. And so, you know, I'm doing some deep dive research into, you know, old Facebook events and the comments and trying to figure out who's who and like, why was this band doing this and when did they exist and whatever little details I can dig up and putting it all together. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I sort of stumbled into my life's work with the website.
I'm incredibly impressed going through the book, like, finding that information because I have memories of snippets of things here and there, but like, finding who these people are, especially in masked up or in costumes or things.
Well,
like,
part of it is I've been keeping track of what I do every day since the beginning of 2015.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I have a journal app that I use where every show is in there and the Facebook event from every show as I was going to them, I saved in there. So it's really helpful. And then every artist I saw. So as I started, you know, as we were doing the book and I, you know, Richard sent me this picture, I'd be like, I don't know anything, but I bet I can find the information because I have mm-hmm. so much recorded down. And so I'd kind of backtrack, right? This was from this show, so it must have been this artist. And then, yeah, with the website, same thing. I've had to dig back through my own records a lot to find information to sort of, you know, piece it all together.
What an incredible foresight to have just be a collector collector of so many things to be able to reference back. I feel like it's such important historic archival work that you're doing. So thank you.
Thank you.
If anyone's just joining us now, I'm here with Corbin talking about Choice Cuts, this Disposable Camel Archive. And you guys have this event. Tell listeners again when this event is, and then we can listen to some of the people that are playing that event.
Yeah. So it's this Thursday. Doors are at 6:30. Show starts at 7, although there might be some things starting before 7, at the Pam Cut Tomorrow Theater on Southeast Division.
Yeah. So who all is, so you and Karma are,
we'll be hosting,
MCing together. Yeah. And then tell us again who is all playing and then we'll list some of those folks.
Yeah. So music will be by Dimwit and by James Anaïs, the lead of Non-Binary Girlfriend, doing a solo set. And then we'll also have some, non-musical performances by, people affiliated with Corn Con, and some local wrestlers as well. Also, everybody in attendance will receive a copy of the book.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, yeah. That's so cool. And I love, too, the fact that y'all decided to make the book, like, a handheld, like, pocket size.
Yeah. I love that. That was Rich's vision from the beginning, was something that you can, like, you know, stick in a big pocket.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super stoked with how it came out. I think it's a great final product.
No, it looks great. And that I love, like, I feel like you're... your memories and musings are give a lot of great insight. And I really appreciate how you guys really, like, sort of kind of organized it loosely, relating to venues as well. Cause I feel like that is such this important. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like you described this too, of this, continuously moving, shifting mm-hmm. thing that the scene and venues, yeah. like nothing is ever this, like, stable thing.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you guys bringing light to different places.
Yeah, the space is such a crucial part of any DIY scene. I mean, I grew up in the area, and I was going to shows at Backspace when I was a teenager. And, you know, if you moved here in the past 7-8 years, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about right
now. Totally, yeah.
And no matter how involved in the scene you are, so many things have cycled through. Portland has never really had that kind of, like, long-term stability. Now, there have been show houses that have lasted for decades, cause sort of in obscurity, and obviously, you know, bars that have held around. But for the most part, it's kind of always cycling through. And a lot of places, you know, either closed down or stopped hosting shows at the start of pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's all new places now. I mean, mm-hmm. the music scene is as thriving now as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point, I feel like I only barely know what's going on anymore, because mm-hmm. there's so many new venues coming up all the time that I just don't have the time to go everywhere. But mm-hmm. Fortunately, there is, you know, a new generation is always ready to, you know, kind of continue forward and, you know, keeping that momentum going.
And you're also still part of that in a really big way, I'd say, on the organizing end. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little on Freak Scene?
Yeah, sure. So Freak Scene is a website that I started with my buddy Nico, who lived at Human Flesh Body World, a local show house that actually hosted Corn Con.
Mm-hmm.
Nico's down in Los Angeles now, but back in November, December, we started a website called Freak Scene to have a place for the music community, and not just of Portland and Los Angeles, but really any city around the country and around the world, to have a place to gather, to share events, to communicate, collaborate with each other, off of the social media platforms, off of the billionaire-owned platforms, off of the, you know, many things we could say about them platforms, into a place that's really, truly, like, wholly, you know, owned and operated by, you know, the communities that we're in. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's been, a good way to, you know, where I'm maybe not as, you know, I'm not hosting shows anymore. I'm not living in a 4,000 square foot house with 7 other people where mm-hmm. we can have 200 people come through a night. But this is a way to still, you know, be able to maintain some engagement with the broader music scene, music community, aside from just, you know, being there as an audience member.
Yes. I love that, because I feel like as I get older too, I always continuously wonder, like, how are those ways that you can still be involved when you don't feel like you... know the new changing mm-hmm. scene mm-hmm. and
it's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to, like, be kind of always on to, like, figure out, like, what's the new space and, like,
to
where
be invited
has this been?
Yeah, to be there.
Yeah, no, it's like it takes a lot. It's, you know, so people ask sometimes, like, where do you find shows, and it's like, you just got to keep at it. I mean, like, you find one thing, and then, you know, it's like the more that I'm out there in the music scene, the more I realize how little I know. I mean,
yeah.
I have countless times, I maybe mentioned this in the book, but countless times where I found myself at some house show where I look around, I don't know a single person at the show, I don't know any of the bands on the bill. Everybody's like singing along to every song because they all know all these bands. They're mm-hmm. like, wow, we've had so many fun times at Poop House, uh-huh, and like, uh-huh. oh, we love this place. And it's like, I don't have a clue who any of you people are. I'm like, how have I missed all this? Because there's like, you know, there is not any like forced way to you know, centralize any of this stuff.
Totally.
So there's, you know, you can move here with a couple of friends from wherever, have a house, start playing shows at it, and only you and the people around you know about it. And
totally.
So there's not like a music scene in Portland. There are infinite music scenes, and they sometimes connect, and sometimes they'll go years with no overlap. I mean, I can think of, you know, plenty of examples of people who it's like I'd see them all the time, but only in certain kinds mm-hmm. of, you know, spaces, mm-hmm. and they didn't know anybody in these other spaces that I knew. And then there's, you know, how many others that I'm not even aware of, or that I am aware of, but I can only be in one place, you know, in a single night. And, you know, sometimes you're choosing between four or five house shows, much less, you know, other shows to go to on a Friday or Saturday night here.
Oh, for sure. And affording all of that, of going around and supporting all your friends and choosing that. But no, it is really interesting. I think from doing radio and talking to so many folks, like, I feel like, you know, I'm like, oh, you know this person or that person. And they're like, no, we don't know that. And I'm
right,
like, how?
Right.
Because
I
know you.
Exactly.
But like,
I go through,
so you
I go through
know
that all the time. I was like, oh, of course you know this person. And they're like, no. And it's like, well, but I've known you both for so long. How
yeah.
can you not? You must have met each other at some point. That's absurd.
And Portland is so like connected in so many ways. I have a phrase like it's not if it's when, you know, it's not if you're going to meet someone, see someone, it's when.
Yeah,
but at the same
yeah.
time, it really is like there's so many little niche.
Yeah, little pockets
of
yeah,
things going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so thrilled to play some music then from
cool,
this
yeah.
event.
Yeah.
Let's play some music and then we'll chat more about Choice Cuts.
Great, excellent.
Yeah. So Chris from Buckman helped make this playlist, and these are a few folks that are playing the event. So who do we want to start off with? And totally up to y'all. We can start with Karma since like she's kicking off
yeah.
as the MC.
Yeah.
I feel like Karma knows how to start and also conclude the party.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
Karma,
totally.
Karma knows crowd control in this town better than anybody.
Oh, for sure, for sure. She'll do the repeat on the songs. Okay, cool. Well, this is Sirens from Karma Rivera.
I'm Mr. Karma Rivera.
Yo.
Puerto Rico goes straight back to Jamaica. Yo.
Yeah, I flew from the States to the island. That's not my girl, we just vibing. Don't stop until we hit sirens. Like my phone, I stay silent. I flew from the States to the island. That's not my girl, we just vibing. Don't stop until we hit sirens. Just like my phone, I stay silent. Mami, daddy, got you pretty like Rosalia. Got style like Miss Aaliyah, more side like Miss Maria. Sé que eres mía, te ves bien todo día. I'm outside with the re-up, ain't no tie, better D up. I can lock you down with a prenup. I don't get around, ain't no time, I could free up. Maybe after 10, is you down, will you be up? Think I have tunnel vision, still couldn't see us. Oh, flew from the States to the island. That's not my girl, we just vibing. Don't stop until we hit sirens. Just like my phone, I stay silent. I flew from the States to the island. That's not my girl, we just vibing. Don't stop until we hit sirens. Just like my phone, I stay silent. Give me me, Mrs. PYT, G like Princess D. By my breed, I look like a thief. My time never free. You not mine, but you here with me. Pronounced they and she. I feel weak when you give me top while I'm watching Glee. Yeah, that's hot. I'm that girl, they not. I'm who they wanna see. In my city, they say I'm the best and I don't disagree. And they right, I'm a pretty dirt. So I'm pushing P. I don't fold, plus I'm cold. I'm forever giving ski. And everybody know you be pulling up on me. No matter where we are, ain't no place I'd rather be. You here with me. I flew from the States to the island. That's not my girl, we just vibing. Don't stop until we hit sirens. Just like my phone, I stay silent. I flew from the States to the island. That's not my girl, we just vibing. Don't stop until we hit sirens. Just like my phone, I stay silent.
She said me bad like what? A long time she want come fuck bad man. Straight from ya, no, me no wrong bang. Smoke weed hard every day, make bank.
Rich.
Yeah, 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 me money enough, enough. And your push, puff, puff. Better bring it, come, come. Shake up your bam, bam. Girl, you cool and done. Oh, me if you come up, no man a yard man. Hey, girl.
I flew from the States to the island.
Jamaica.
That's not my girl, we just vibing.
Yeah.
Welcome back to X-Ray FM. I'm here sitting in the studio with Corbin talking about Choice Cuts and the upcoming event at PamCut this Thursday.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, what's up? So that last track, those last two tracks are two folks. So is Karma going to be...
Karma's not performing.
Perform, okay.
Because she's got another show at Alberta, so it's Abbey, like, coming up soon after, so... You know, contract stuff.
Okay, yeah, totally.
But yeah, so she's emceeing and hosting.
Okay,
and then
cool.
Music will be by Dimwit and James Anais.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, it's gonna be so good to see solo James Anais stuff.
It's yes, gonna be yes.
It's, so much it's, raw energy.
It's excellent. It's really great stuff.
So good. Okay, so let's hear. Let's hear some stuff from Dimwit then.
Yeah,
totally. And then I guess we can come back and chat a little bit more. But I guess before we do, while that was playing, we were kind of talking about different, you know, the new scene, new venues coming up. Mm-hmm. And I'm always so curious, what's on your horizon of shows? And how do you keep track? I have a friend who has like a spreadsheet of all of her shows that she goes to.
Lately I use a paper calendar and I write them down on there because it's in my kitchen and it's easier to see it. Because if I put it on a digital calendar that I'm not checking often enough, I forget about it.
Totally.
Yeah, there's definitely times where we intend to go to something and then we forget.
Oh, totally. I get that. I'm also a physical calendar person. Mm-hmm. Digital calendars are just totally...
Yeah. It works for me for work, but as soon as I'm outside of the office, I don't want to look at a digital calendar, and so I don't.
No. Yeah. So, well, I guess I started to quiz you then on the spot, but what show is coming up on your horizon that you're looking forward to?
Gosh, off the top of my head, I'll have to think about it. I don't know what's
on. No, that's okay. You literally just told me that you look at your physical calendar because I put you on the spot. Baby just went to their first Anarchy Beach show.
Yeah. That
Who
was
played
for,
that?
A bunch of bands played actually. That was Glizfest?
Yeah. Okay. Daniel's
Glizathon, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Put on by Daniel with Heaven's Gate. Saw Heaven's Gate, and I think I saw one or two other bands that I wasn't familiar with, so I don't remember who all they were, but that was a little mini festival on Anarchy Beach, and there's several pictures from Anarchy Beach in the book, and that's a wonderful space, just a weird little beach in North Portland. Mm-hmm. that is just what it is. I've been to a lot of shows that over the years.
Yeah, labor of love to play is what I've heard.
Yeah. You gotta haul a lot of equipment down a steep hill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But for you attending, it's super cool. I've seen some very interesting shows on the.
Yeah. No, it's a great space. I mean, I know there's a lot of efforts to get Human Access Project trying to get more people out there on the river, and I think sometimes this dirty North Portland industrial beach actually does the best job of anything in the city of getting people out there along the river. So it's great seeing music right on the Willamette and seeing the skyline behind you, and people have campfires set up. It's a cool spot.
Yeah, I remember when Shiva's and I think Launderette played on the boat out there.
Oh, that was Kelly Point.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a question and it totally left my brain. So we'll play Dimwit while I come back to that. So y'all can hear the amazing history of Jeff Thuyer in Portland.
Yeah.
This is Posey Poses Possibly.
Thank you.
Welcome back to X-Ray FM. That last song was from Dimwit, and I'm here chatting with Corbin.
Yeah, hi, hello.
What's up, what's up? So we're chatting about Choice Cuts and this upcoming event at PamCut where Dimwit is going to be playing. Let's talk about the incredible Jeff Tuohy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big Jeff Tuohy fan. If anybody knows me, you probably already know that. I've seen Dimwit many, many times. If not the most, then second most, maybe behind Alpha Midwives. Yeah. But Sage isn't performing that anymore, so still seeing Dimwit play. So you know, Jeff is a crucial member of the Portland music scene. You know, over the past decade, for a long time, I think. Would take any show that was offered. So sometimes was playing 3 or 4 shows a week, multiple shows a night, really burning the candle at both ends there, so to speak. You know, really, like, I think that, you know, Jeff to me is somebody who is really obviously cares about and is genuine to the music community. Mm-hmm. And is also why we ever first hosted shows at Crush House. The first,
oh yeah,
the first show at Crush House was Jeff had booked a show with Dimwit and the Shivas, and their venue fell through last minute, and so they hit me up and asked if we could do it at our house. We had a couple parties before, but hadn't had any bands play, and it was a hit. We had, I mean, it was a huge show. It was both, you know, popular bands, especially, you know, big at the time, and that kind of launched us having shows regularly because it worked so well, and it was a lot of fun. So,
wow.
You know, I've always, you know, like, attributed that, you know, fully to Jeff, and so yeah, there's a whole page in the book about Dimwit and Jeff Tuohy. So it was a natural fit to, you know, invite to perform at the show.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like through this era, that they are definitely one of the main faces, I feel like, that I...
Yeah, yeah, it was very easy to see Dimwit a lot in that era, because they were playing shows all the time.
And I'm sure, too, it's been so interesting for you to see, like, the different, like, sound evolutions and style evolutions that different artists... And like, when people, you know... form new groups of people, like you were talking about earlier, of like, you know, how you're kind of archiving that, which is incredible. What was that like as like witnessing your friends, you know, sound change and being witness to that?
Yeah. I mean, looking at Dimwit as an example, the project was for a long time, like, you know, Jeff playing guitar. It was definitely rooted in like indie rock kind of music. And, you know, what you'll see on Thursday is a pretty far, you know, cry from anything you'd call indie rock. It's much more on the experimental side of things, with some voice modulation and a whole performance art element involving green screens, and you know, it's really evolved into something else. And I think that sort of transition, especially going from you know, playing rock music to maybe using some of the same instruments but no longer rocking with them, doing something else, is something that I've seen from a lot of musicians. That you know, I still love a good rock show, but you know, eventually some of the novelty starts to wear off, and they're still doing things, and so they do some other things. And there's a you know, a really thriving experimental music scene in Portland that many of the people who are involved in it, you know, they were playing rock music or jazz or other kinds of music in the past, and they sort of, you know, whether out of curiosity or boredom in what they were doing, they came to this new space where they're, you know, doing things that I think in a lot of cities would not be well received. I think that you know, Portland audiences are really like favorable and willing to see some pretty, you know, weird stuff being performed, and so the limits are perhaps unknown, and people can kind of, you know, take whatever, you know, weird sets they want to do and side projects, and they'll probably find an audience that will, you know, politely, respectfully listen and enjoy it, and so I think that you know, the city kind of allows a lot of flexibility in sort of how people approach the music that they're making, because probably somebody will show up to your show.
I mean, I feel like, I mean, Portland is such a art city, and like, it's such this like I feel like you keep coming back to like things as being this like performance at heart, and that's like truly, I think, what like Portlanders maybe appreciate at it, is that like it's this a art performance, more than this like musicianship.
Yeah, well, and I think it's also like, so there's something about experimental music especially that a lot of it doesn't record well. You know, some of it records very well. Some of it's, you know, really makes more sense as recorded. But a lot of it is like it's visceral. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're watching somebody like mm-hmm. slam objects down on the mm-hmm. ground. Like, it's mm-hmm. the ground is vibrating. You know, it's so much more than just like music. It is this visceral, physical thing. And I think, especially in light of the state of the world that we're in, it sort of feels appropriate to the zeitgeist mm-hmm. to be playing music that breaks out of the expectations of what music is mm-hmm. and, allows an expression and a feeling that is very distant from what we might normally expect from music and performance, but I think in a lot of ways is very genuine.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that's what like good art does, right? It's like it creates a reaction and emotion, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that's what experimental music can like push
yeah.
people to, is that's going to evoke something that's breaking
right.
beyond
yeah
what
whether you love it or you hate it
yeah.
like it's
yep.
like sometimes going to a show where you're like, oh, this is awful, like mm-hmm. my body hurts, it's like, wow, what an experience you had there, like that's cool,
yeah,
and maybe you're not gonna go again,
you were very present in your body
yeah, exactly.
And then wanting to escape it I think that's it's very interesting as I get older too, I'm finding the same things, is that you want that and that's why live music is so important, that you get that mm-hmm. That connection
yeah.
and community and
yeah yeah. I mean, there's nothing else like it. I barely even listen to recorded music these days. We were remarking the playlist we have here. I never heard some of these artists recorded. I've seen some of them many times, and it's like I never thought to actually listen to their music, because I like seeing mm-hmm. the performance aspect of it and it being a little different each time, mm-hmm. and feeling the crowd around me and seeing everything that's going. It's just such a different experience. But I think I think in sort of looking at a world that we're in that often kind of tells people like, hey, it's okay to stay home, it's okay to just use an app for that, it's okay to have mm-hmm. delivery instead of going out and experiencing the real thing, like having those experiences I think is really important. And I think it's like in a ways it's going to a show, it feels like a radical act in itself, because there's so much compelling people to not even do that,
mm-hmm.
to just like, well, mm-hmm. you could probably watch a show on Instagram, but it's nothing as the same as experiences as truly actually like being there,
mm-hmm.
being present. And like that's also how you build community.
Totally.
I mean, I'm all for people gathering in a square to hear speakers talk about whatever DSA's got going on, but you also have to have things that are enjoyable and fun to build that camaraderie, that
mm-hmm.
to make people want to show up to the next thing, to make people excited to work together and to band together, whether it's for ejecting ice or whatever else. Like, I think that the joy and entertainment of shows and music and of parties is a crucial part of really solidifying the community that you need to be able to make progress on a lot of things in the world.
So well said. Yeah. No, exactly. No, we need community. Showing up to those spaces and being part of the community is what makes community.
Yeah.
Be community to have it.
Right, right. It's DIY. You have to do it yourself. You can't expect it to happen to you. You have to contribute. You have to participate. And that's what's fun about it. It, like, the contribution, the participation, that is what makes it enjoyable. It's like, that's part of why I started, taking pictures at shows, was because I was already at the front row because I like being at the front row to see the music and to dance. Well, if I can take some pictures, then I can contribute as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm not just like a consumer. I'm somebody who's contributing to the community and contributing to what's going on. And it's been so much more gratifying knowing that like I can, give something to the artist afterwards, mm-hmm. as like, here's a record of what happened, that they can go do whatever they want with.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like too, I mean, I hopefully people see the value and importance of it, of the time, but I think as especially like so much now, as things in history are being erased,
mm-hmm.
it's so important, the archival work that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and seeing this archive of the scene and the history of Portland.
It's
valuable.
It's easy to forget. I always think of what I'm doing as it's proof that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Even the things that I think back on, it's like, did I really go to those shows? Did
mm-hmm.
I really? It's like that probably didn't actually have time to do it, but I did, and here's evidence. Here's proof of it. And I think that especially in these types of, in like DIY communities, like a lot of these bands, that no one else is documenting anything. And so they might be doing amazing things. There might be like nights that like for somebody in that show, that was the best night of their life.
Mm-hmm.
They've never had more fun. It's like it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. And then it just kind of is
mm-hmm.
it just goes away. But
mm-hmm.
I think that those things matter, and it's worth like, keeping track of them. And if not just to show that like, in the future, like when it maybe feels impossible to you know, express joy in the way that like you can do it. Mm-hmm. And it is accessible. And like, you know, there is a precedent of doing it and continuing to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think especially like now, you know, at this point within capitalism that like even third spaces, you know, sort of rely on capitalism, that like we have mm-hmm. these third spaces that are outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think house shows are a very rare environment where, yeah. like, you know, again, I've gone to plenty of bar shows and they're, you know, all well and good, but like it's somebody's small business. Mm-hmm. It's somebody who's trying to sell enough booze to like, you know, keep the lights on another day. Mm-hmm. Nobody's making any money at a house show.
Yeah.
Hopefully the bands are taking some cut of a door fee, but like probably they forgot to get a door person. And so,
yeah,
but,
yeah, totally.
You know,
it's all out of love.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're really there because like, you know, you want to see the music or you want to mm-hmm. like dance. Or you want to smoke cigarettes on the back porch or whatever. And I think that, yeah, like, you know, it's one of the few third spaces, if not only at this point realistically, that you can just be at mm-hmm. and just kind of do your thing. Mm-hmm. And it's okay and it's mm-hmm. welcomed. And then at the same time, you can, like, hear, like, some really cool music and, like, you know, meet great people and have these awesome experiences.
Mm-hmm. So for those who... potentially can't make this awesome event, this book release for Choice Cuts this Thursday. Where can we get our copies of Choice Cuts?
That's a great question. I know it's available from Buckman. I don't know where else it actually is yet. Maybe Chris knows.
Do you want to get closer to the mic and talk about that, Chris?
Yeah. So we are getting it out to a bunch of bookstores around town. And anywhere you are, if you want it stocked at your bookstore, just ask them and they can get it, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Cool. Yeah.
Available everywhere.
It's a real book with an ISBN and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I feel like maybe the hope of it too, with it being this like pocket size, is that people are going to bring it to shows and...
That would be very sweet.
I mean, very endearing. The minute I opened it, I feel like I just, you know, found so many old friends and saw people that I immediately wanted to be like, oh my gosh, hey, I you know, I saw you in the book. I mm-hmm. want to show you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's going to be the little, you know, around shows. Everyone's going to be like, ah, oh, do you remember this or that show? Here you are in the crowd here. Uh-huh. It's cute.
Yeah. No, it's fun having these pictures in print form because yeah. it's been, despite being, you know, analog photography, it's always been a very digital project because everything's always been online. I've printed almost, you know, half dozen photos, period.
Oh, I was going to ask get prints. With it, so you only always have the negatives.
They scan the negatives, they email me JPEGs, I edit them in Adobe Lightroom before they go online, so it's even, you know, it's a digital analog hybrid, whatever anybody sees.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But then I don't, it's like, if I had prints of all these, I'd be run out of house and home with prints of photos.
Oh,
so
for real.
Plus it costs a lot more money. So I've printed a small handful for, you know, novelty's sake here or there, but this is really the first time that I've seen, you know, anything like this from my own work. So yeah, being able to like physically look at it and have that you know, non-online copy is very exciting.
I'm sure it makes it feel so real.
Yeah.
This like, I mean, serious life's work that you've put into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I'm very thankful for you know, the Buckman team for all the work that they did in making this come together, because absolutely, like, you know, I just took the pictures, they did all the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, an incredible project and undertaking, and it'll be an amazing release. So I have to ask, like, I mean, obviously you're gonna keep, this is like who you are for the rest of
your
life.
That's just what I do.
This is what you do.
Yeah, I don't expect retire from. Like,
yeah, I feel like this will be kind of an amazing ongoing life project of your archiving. Yeah. And I'm sure too, like,
the book only goes through 2023. It's 2 years past that already. There's
a lot,
so much. Lot more pictures that I've already taken.
And much has happened.
And you know, thousands of pictures that aren't in this book.
Yeah. So yeah, you'll have to just keep putting stuff out.
Yeah.
I guess for listeners out there, gosh, this show goes by so fast. for listeners out there who want to keep up with you and your archive, you have your website.
Yep.
And also where else can they find you and follow your pictures?
A website's the best way. I don't want to boost my social media.
Who cares?
But yeah, my website, you know, it's just my name. So it's corb.in. No.com. It's just corb.in.
Okay.
And that's my photo archive where you can see, I update it almost every single day as I just keep picking away at adding more pages. I just today I completed every show that I've been to since the beginning of 2020, and every artist I've seen since then I've created pages for, and lots of earlier stuff as well. And I just keep kind of pushing, you know, back and back and back and filling it all in. So that's where you can see like whatever is the latest. There's links to my social media if you care on there. You see some, you know, select things that I've posted, but definitely it all goes on the website first.
Yeah. Very neat. Very neat. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come and speak to me and X-ray listeners as well. Yeah. And thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, we only have so much, a few more minutes on this show. So maybe we can play another someone from from your playlist here. And what are you guys thinking?
Let's... We'll put on the Nick Normal track here.
Also a long time Portland classic.
Yeah. I just saw Nick yesterday, actually. But yeah, another long time DIY scene veteran who's been, you know, central to, you know, a lot of things for many years. And if there's time more, there's some other tracks by some other local heavy hitters, Rhododendron, Spinbenders.
Like one time for maybe two tracks.
Yeah, cool.
Well, thank you so much again. Again, for listeners out there, attend this Choice Cuts book release at Pam Cut starting at 6:30, 7 p.m.
Yep, this Thursday.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll end it out here with this Nick Normal track, Mixed Lettuces 16, or 1 and 2, excuse me.